This week's guest on Stiletto Heels is Bob Harrod, and I am so thrilled and excited to share with you how to live the good life with your furry friends. And Bob certainly knows the ins and outs of how to add a little bit of glamour to your day and to your pet. So let's get together and share moments with Bob. Sitting here with Bob Harrod, who is a wonderful, wonderful dog trainer. And welcome to Tea Time with Bob. Bob, if you can tell me a bit of your story, how did you get involved?
Well, thank you for asking me. As a kid, I grew up, I wanted to be a veterinarian. I wasn't great at sports, but I loved animals. I was kind of for lack of a better term, an animal geek. You know, my mom was super permissive with all that. We had snakes and lizards and turtles.
Oh, my.
And I had aquariums, and that was just sort of, I loved all that sort of stuff. Go ahead.
I felt so fortunate in meeting Bob. Bob has a remarkable ability of just hanging out with the dog today. My little Shushu had training, and actually we were outside waiting for Bob, and little Shushu was just whining away. He noticed the car coming, so it's amazing the bond that Bob finds in 2 minutes, how he bonds with all his animals. It's remarkable, really. And I think I'd like to hear a little bit about how the human contact with dogs or different animals.
Yeah, before I did dog training, you know, I wanted to be a veterinarian, but when I went to college, my math sucked. So I didn't do well in math type subjects. So anyway, I ended up later on getting a degree in human services, which is a generalist degree, and it was specific to social work, because I wanted to be involved somehow or another in the animal-human bond, right, and for therapy animals and all that, and pet therapy. There really isn't a lot of, there's not a great job that you could make a living at with some of that stuff. It's usually done as a side. I had associations with pet stores, so at the time, some of them had baby goats and all that stuff, Yeah, they were really kind. They would loan me the animals, and I would take them to developmental centers for developmentally disabled people.
Wow.
And also, I had a friend that was a physical therapist that worked for multiple homes where there was older people,
right,
who were, you know, mentally completely there but had physical issues. And we would take dogs and puppies and other animals there, which they totally, you know, loved.
I noticed a lot with the vets as well, the human contact with animals, including birds as well, that it's remarkable how, you know, the contact of it is so healing, and how wonderful and remarkable in wellness, how much it's needed.
It is. And like one of the internships I did was at a adult daycare for people who had memory loss, Alzheimer's, and dementia and that sort of thing.
Really?
And it was interesting. They really wouldn't want to talk much, but if I brought an animal, all of a sudden they would start reminiscing about the pet they had or the beloved animal. So it seemed to engage parts of their memory to a beloved pet, and they would start having a conversation, and it's kind of, you know, amazing. And I think for a lot of people, there's been evidence that when you have a dog, you exercise more, you have to walk it. And for some people, it's also a social lubricant, you know, in a funny way. I would take an owner doing some training to like a fashion island or a shopping center. And sometimes the guys would say, oh, I see why you bring the dogs here to train them. Because people would come up and want to visit with the dog. Yeah, yeah.
It's great intro. Great, great intro. Also for yourself. So how did you evolve to, I noticed you also do classes for your pets.
The way I kind of got started was I wanted to do dog training, and I had a German Shepherd puppy at the time, and I got tuned in to a woman named Sue Miles, and I took my dog to her class. And the great part was she was very progressive in her ideas about training. It was more motivational in earning versus compulsion, like choke collar classes and all that sort of stuff. So I ended up working for her for a period of time and learning from her. And then I just went eventually and did my own business and kind of went on. And I also belong to APDT, which is Association of Pet Dog Trainers. So they have continuing education, going to seminars, hearing and learning about what other people are doing and techniques and all that stuff.
Do you often, do you also train dogs to be therapy dogs?
I don't train therapy dogs, but a lot of them need initial exposure. I think the main thing, if you have any pet, the first thing you need to do is to make sure it's socialized. People, you know, are kind of afraid sometimes to socialize their dogs because of the risk of infection. Right. But the benefits, the American Veterinary Society recommends that the benefits of socialization outweigh the risks of infection. So as long as your dog is currently vaccinated, that people should socialize their dog, because that's, I would say, the biggest problem if you have a dog with social issues is they were kind of not socialized early.
Socialized with other people,
dogs, all those things. And like, if you don't have kids, you know, a lot of dogs right. are fine with adults, but they get reactive with toddlers.
Right.
And part of it's because of lack of exposure.
Well, I know for myself, I always began walking around where there were infants crying or mothers around. So he would get accustomed to hearing different sounds as well. Also, I started training Shushu, where I'd go outside and I'd place him under the table. So you get accustomed that, okay, I was having a cup of coffee and it was time for him to relax as well. But I found going into some of the parks, it really, which I think I told you about, scared me, because sometimes people are just irresponsible and they have their dogs off the leash and you don't know what to do when the dog is charging to snap at your animal
right.
as well.
Yeah, I mean, I think that a lot of dog problems are really people problems.
Right.
You know, they're not really managing their dog and they don't realize that other people may not particularly want a dog to come lumbering over to them. And even usually what they'll say is, you know, my dog's friendly, and it's like, you know.
And then they go attacking.
Yeah, right. So it's hard. But fortunately, I think more and more people are hopefully becoming more educated about appropriate, because there's dog etiquette. Whether you're, you know, you should say, like, a lot of people would have their dog on a leash come roaming up to the dog I'm working with who might be frightened of dogs.
Right.
And they should say, like, hey, is it okay? You know.
Generally, I think people are more aware nowadays of that. I've noticed a few times people come over and say, may I pet your dog? Or they teach their young children also, which is wonderful.
That's a really important point.
It's wonderful to yeah. see. I also, walking around with Shushu a little bit, and I've noticed now the shelters, you know, are becoming more and more no-kill shelters, which is fantastic. And I'm seeing a lot more people adopting from the shelters, which is, yay, wonderful. But I'm also concerned because sometimes people take their animals out of the shelters, and then when the dog doesn't obey right away or do things, 2 weeks, 3 weeks later, they'll leave them stranded. I heard in the desert, on the streets, and sometimes they'll just bring them back to the shelters.
Yeah, dogs aren't disposable. You know, I mean, if you're going to get a dog, I think you have to realize in some cases it's a 15-year commitment, depending on the dog. Also, you know, I think that's the other reason why it's important for people when you adopt a dog to maybe seek some professional help to help you go through. If people can't really afford like private training, you can go to group classes and all that sort of stuff. The little bit of effort you put into training and management will pay off in dividends.
Well, that's why I felt it's kind of like if your child doesn't listen to you, are you going to send them out and leave them on the street? It's similar
right.
to that. So that really.
And COVID was a really interesting time there too, because everybody thought, oh, was I slow? No, I was slow for 2 weeks when we had to stay inside. But then everybody goes, I'm home now. It's time to adopt a dog or a puppy. Right. And then after people went back to work, at first the shelters were empty during COVID. Yeah. And then all of a sudden they filled up again because people realized, like, you know, what did I do kind of a thing. So having a pet is so enriching, but it's important to make sure you're ready for the commitment.
Master Shoshona, and I'm sitting here, and I've just met
Gina Smith from Newport Coast and Alicia Thompson.
So I'm all about glamour and finding your G-spot, your pleasure spot.
Woo!
So, so in your home, what room gives you the most pleasure?
Oh my God, I'm dying right now, but my glam room, there's a lot of like hot irons and stuff like that. It's just sexy up there.
So what
I don't think she was thinking of hot irons.
So it's okay.
So I know what Carol would wear. Yeah. Of course I knew. It's the bedroom. You got a little drawer. I mean, come on.
Okay. Yes. So what room gives you the most pleasure? Where do you enjoy sitting and relaxing? And what room do you unwind in? Or what do you like to do?
Fireplace with a glass of champagne.
Oh.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Sometimes just slip it into bed. Like, no kids, no dog, no one, and just picking some Netflix show, documentary that I get knee deep in, and saying, my life is so easy compared to these people.
So true.
Yes.
What's your favorite color?
My favorite color is pink.
Light blue. Tiffany blue.
You know what? I would say I love blue as well.
Well, I love white too. White is probably my favorite.
She's wearing white.
So decor for decoration, you're a white beige
I'm
girl.
White beige.
Yeah.
So thank you. As the animal groups, the human animal groups are so important, as you had mentioned, the Delta Society, the pet therapies, guide dogs of the deserts, which charity are you most devoted to?
Oh, that's a tough question. There's local pet rescues that always need, you know, help. So you can check with your local city rescue. The ASPCA, of course, you know, does a lot of kind of, I want to say policing, but they do things where they're making sure animals are not being treated inhumanely. And again, I contribute to the Humane Society. I think the other thing people can do, if not being financially, is most shelters or private, you know, rescues appreciate either fostering a dog or actually going to the shelter and volunteering time so you can take the dog out and visit with them and walk them. Because unfortunately, when a dog gets put in a shelter, you know, that they break down emotionally over
like
time.
Like a human.
Yeah, right. And so having normal, regular people coming and walking them just to, you know, so that when somebody adopts them, it's not like they've been sort of isolated and then all of a sudden now they're supposed to fit in to society.
What have you noticed with most dogs when you first begin training them that are good habits, and what are some pitfalls that most of our new mommies and daddies have to watch?
Yeah. Well, with puppies, of course, it's like house training, puppy biting, destructiveness. And so, you know, there's multiple things that you and I have discussed with your own pet. And like right now, Shushu's kind of
nibbling on
your fingers. So I have to go down and get the little toy that we brought up. And I have to, you know, redirect them. The other thing is people don't seem to always do often is if you have a puppy and the puppy has a harness on, keep a little short leash on the dog. If your puppy's getting into something, you can get the leash and move him away. If the puppy's grabbing your pant leg, you can use the leash and move him away. And you're going to teach your puppy, like, correct it and redirect it. Like, tell it, no. and then give it something else to do. Exercise is crucial. I would say the majority of puppies don't get enough strenuous exercise. So what happens is with all this bottled up energy, they're a pain. You know, right. they nag you, bother you, or they chew on things. With other shelter dogs, you sometimes have to be aware that the dog may have some separation anxiety. It may not have been used to being left alone. It's helpful if dogs have been trained to be in confinement, whether it's a crate or an exercise pen. So say you adopt a brand new dog from the shelter, it's hard to just say, I got to go to work, and the dog's being left there. Having it in a more controlled environment initially is really important. And then checking to see if it gets along with kids and other dogs a little bit at a time. And it takes a dog like 6 to 8 weeks to be at home. Like some people say, I got a dog at the shelter or whatever, and it was perfect the first week. And then all of a sudden it got more at home. And then it started to get into things, right, and all that stuff. But part of it had to do with the dog wasn't completely settled in. You know, the dog doesn't know, is this my permanent home or is this another hotel?
Wow. But I noticed a lot of times the separation anxiety for dogs is often miscommunicated. And some people feel because of that, that they'll return it to the shelters, so on and so forth, which is rather sad.
Yeah. Well, I do think that especially for shelter dogs that are adopted and then they bring them home and there's some separation anxiety, a lot of that can be bettered if right from the beginning, people don't over attend to the dog. Like, for instance, you get the shelter dog and you feel bad for it because, right, it was isolated. So you keep it with you 24/7. And then you decide one day you need to leave it alone. You're better off to stay a little bit detached so that it's not like a black and white. You know, you don't encourage a Velcro dog and then have to leave it. Start teaching it how to be independent a little bit in the beginning and you'll have less problems. But through your veterinarian and some professional help, a lot of those things can be helped. Some older dogs are given medication temporarily.
It's interesting. Sometimes as we spoke, Bob, I think the most important things are the benefits of having a pet in your home, whether you are alone, married, with children, without children. I think it's so important. And what is your feeling about the benefits of having a pet?
Like when I come home, my dogs are always glad to see me. Doesn't matter what my day's like, I can come home and I can get a cheering squad. So it's always lots of love. It's not like, did you take the trash out or did you...
Or and they're not in a bad mood, right, or having a temper,
right,
tantrum.
Exactly.
Right.
They're always glad to see me. Even simple things that they've been doing some research that small children or infants raised in a home with a dog have less asthma because they have some allergens early on. So the child builds an immunity, I guess, to those things versus a house that does not have a pet. For people that are recovering from a heart attack or anything like that, first of all, they have the companionship. You know,
true.
The other thing is, too, they have to, you know, go for a walk. So they're forced to do a little bit of activity.
Exercise.
The other thing is when you're on a walk with your dog.
And that's why Shushu's been great because I've been having Peter walk him. And Peter, I can't get into a gym. In fact, I was telling my trainer today, I'm determined to get Peter into the gym. So my training began with Shushu and Peter together, that they're both walking.
There you go. There you go. I have one client, too, that she actually takes her dog. It's a small private gym, but so she takes her dog to the gym and everybody just loves to fuss over it. And when you have an animal there, it's a social thing because people are more willing to talk about your adorable dog, even if they wouldn't say good morning.
I noticed there is a trend now with yoga with goats. that they're doing goat yoga.
Oh, I've seen it where they're climbing on their backs
and they're doing downward dog.
There was a puppy yoga thing too that I saw. And this one woman is laying down and this little Labrador puppy is like,
she's doing the.
So it's
amazing.
There's all kinds of cool stuff.
So and, it's so great.
Years ago, along with some other people, it's no longer, I don't think it's anymore there, but we started an organization called PAWS, which is Pets Are Wonderful Support. And what we did is we provided support services for people who had AIDS. And at that time, years ago, there's a lot of isolation.
That's tremendous.
And they wanted people to get rid of their dogs. They were concerned about infection, but that really wasn't a real issue. So we had people that would go out and walk them, clean the cat boxes for them, because very lonely, isolated people. And the one thing they had was their companions,
which their was pets. Marvelous. The AIDS epidemic really was a horrible, horrible time, very isolated. And the pets were amazing.
Right. Their companions
were fantastic.
And their survival, too.
And it's so important. One of the things also, Bob, if I might ask, as you had explained in the beginning with having numerous different types of pets in your childhood, if you recall your childhood and think back, it was funny because I was listening to a composer recently. We went to Sagerson Center and he was saying his father and mother, on Fridays, they'd always bring a fresh fish. They would be cooking fish. Uh-huh. And every week, the mother on Monday would bring a fish. He had polio.
Oh, wow.
And the mother would bring, and I forgot, the mother would bring a fresh fish into the bathtub. And, it was for dinner on Friday night or something. So he'd get very pet friendly with the fish until the following week. But bonding is so important, and so the social bonding also with the animals, I think, is important as well. And I feel you've been a tremendous service, not only to the dogs, but to our, what I'll say, a dog keeper, that your advice and your therapies have been amazing. Bob is very empathetic, not only to the dog, but to the people that he's trying to teach. I think he's teaching me more than the dog. So we have to do a big shout out to Bob and saying thank you humbly for all your care to the animals, to the people, and keep up the good work. And if you want to reach Bob,
You can call 714-558-1425, or you could visit bobburrud.com at bobburrud.com. And there to help, and I really appreciate you inviting me and letting you share my story.
Thank you. Thank you, Bob.